Good morning. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to come before you this morning to bring to you a lesson from God's Word. And I want you to follow along in your Bibles and follow along in your hearts and minds to make sure of that very thing, that what I am saying this morning is from the Word of God. Increasingly in this world today, unfortunately, we live in a society that's largely ungrateful about a lot of things. We live in a society that feels entitled to everything that happens to them, and everything and all the blessings and things that they receive. They feel entitled to get them, not to really work for them, but just entitled to have them. It really makes no sense to me. And biblically, it makes no sense to just have things entitled to you and not work for them and not be thankful for them. And we live in an increasingly, in this society, we live in a world that is not thankful for the things that they have and is always trying to strive for more things. I want to speak this morning about overcoming ingratitude. In Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11 this time, and it came about while he was on the way to Jerusalem that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And it came about that as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." We need to understand that ingratitude is a sin. In 2 Timothy, chapter 3, starting in verse 1. "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, and avoid such men as these." So we see here in this list of horrible sins that none of us want to think about right now. We want to think about good things, and even in our lives we want to think about the good things in our life and the good things that we have, and never being guilty of these things. But we see these things on a daily basis in this world. And unfortunately, we fall prey to these things as Christians. Do we see lovers of self today? Do we see lovers of money? It's all over the TV. It's all over the newspapers. Boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful and unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We see this all the time in this world. And we have to be strong to understand how we are to be as Christians. We have to be strong in the face of all these things, to be grateful for everything that we have. Remember the people who did not honor God in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. We don't want to be in the group that does not honor God, and in the group that does not give thanks for what they have. How can we overcome ingratitude? One thing my mother always said that to me growing up was to count your blessings, not your bruises. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We see an example of always giving thanks. Starting in verse 10. So David blessed the Lord. 2 Chronicles 29:10. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed art thou, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, indeed everything that is in the heavens and the earth. Thine is dominion, O Lord, and thou dost exalt thyself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou dost rule over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and it lies in thy hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from thee, and from thy hand we have given thee. For we are sojourners before thee, and tenants, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope." Let us look at verses like this to realize what God is. Let us look at examples like this in the Bible to remind us of what He gives us and what He means to us as Christians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 17 and 18. "Pray without ceasing, in everything giving thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." We see in a lot of verses, not only in this verse, that we are to give thanks for everything. Now in our minds, we would always choose and favor the good things we have in our life. And of course, we'd give thanks for those things. Hopefully, we give thanks for those things. But the Bible, in many instances, says to be grateful and have thanks and give thanks for everything. Some even the bad things that happen to us because of what they produce in us. We need to give thanks for everything. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15. "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." We're to always give thanks always giving thanks for all the things that we have. So again, going back to count your blessings, not your bruises, and accepting your troubles without complaining. In James chapter 3. Sorry, James chapter 1. Starting in verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We see here a complete attitude change from what the world would tell you to do, or from what the world would tell you how to react when bad things happen to you. When bad things happen to you in this world, we're supposed to go, woe is me. And even religious people say, why is God doing this to me? What have I ever done to deserve all these horrible things that seem to be happening to me over and over and over? We see how we are to think about our trials in this verse. We are to consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. And most people in the world will say, why in the world would I consider it all joy? We are to look at it knowing that it was testing our faith, and that will produce endurance for any other thing that can happen in our life, for all the other things that are going to happen. And then with that endurance, we have a perfect result, that we may be perfect, mature, and complete, lacking in nothing. And this goes to, you know, the other verse that we'll be talking about how he won't tempt you any more than you can handle. And this is because we do this. We consider it all joy when we encounter all these various trials and temptations. So it flies in the face of what the world will tell you to do and how to react. In Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. This is a verse I'm sure most of us all know, can recite, have memorized it several times, but I've never fully understood its meaning all the days of my life, until I get older and older and older and realize what it really means. And it means something different to you almost all the time. You can understand it for a lot of different things, and then bad things happen to you, or good things happen to you. But especially when the bad things happen to you and you're trying to make sense out of everything, you're trying to make sense out of what is going on. We know that if we love God, if we are called according to His purpose, that all things that are happening are working together for good. We have to understand that and pray for that and take comfort in that. Now that hurts people in the world because they want specifics. They want to know exactly why things are happening. They want to know what is caused in it, what is the cause and what is the effect of this. But we know if we take care of our business, we take care of what we're supposed to do, we take care of following God, always making sure we are called according to His purpose, always doing His purpose, and always love God, that all things, no matter what it is, will work together for good. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Starting in verse 1. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all drank the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happened as examples for us, that we should not crave evil things, as they also craved. And do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. We were to accept our troubles without complaining, without grumbling, taking it positively in our head instead of negatively, realizing it'll strengthen us for the future. We would always be mindful and thankful for the things that we do have, to every day acknowledge what we have in life and what we would not trade. In Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth in him. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we were the first hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. I personally have no idea how a Christian can read those verses and not be thankful. And more importantly, no idea how you could trade that off for something in the world, or trade all these things he has done for you by turning your back on God and living a life that you want to live, or living a life that somebody else in this world wants you to live. Something that a magazine or a television show tells you to do. These things were done for you. We ought to be thankful, be grateful, and never forget them. And realize, as we would all admit today, that they are so important to us, and it's got everything to do with why we even get up in the morning. It's got everything to do with why we have salvation in the Lord. And we wouldn't trade it for anything. Acts chapter 2, 38. And Peter said to them, "Repent and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." A whole sermon. Hundreds of sermons could be given on the gift of Jesus Christ, the ultimate gift, the gift that we are to look to every day in our lives and be thankful for that gift. It is the only reason we have salvation. It is the only reason we won't get what we deserve, because we are a sinful people. We have salvation and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, God's Son. In John 14, starting in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Jesus not only came to this world and died for our sins, but when he left this world, he went to prepare a place for his people. He went to prepare a place for you. And that is more humbling than words can describe. We are to be thankful, eternally thankful for that. Always acknowledging what we have and what we would not trade. Remembering our gifts instead of coveting more. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Starting in verse 6. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But to those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. We are to be content with what we have. Now, we can aspire for great things in our life. But it is at that very moment that those aspirings happen and take away from what we're doing for God. Do we not show up for services because we're working to have more money to buy more things? And that is a big thing in this world. To work, work, work as much as you can so you can retire, maybe retire earlier and do more things. Go on an extended vacation. Again, it's all about the things in this world and it's all about the things we can do with it. And it's not about laying up treasures for ourselves in heaven. It's all about treasures in this world. What we can do in this world. What we can buy in this world. Every day as Christians, we're to be thinking about spiritual things. We're to be thinking about heaven as our ultimate goal. And everything else is a distant second. Heaven should be our ultimate goal. And remembering that all these things we didn't bring into this world, none of them will go out with us. As many preachers have said, there will not be a whole bunch of U-Hauls behind the hearse that is taking your body to the grave. Somebody else is going to get all that stuff. In Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 5. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? Also in Luke chapter 12. Starting in verse 16. And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a certain rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' And he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared?' So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." We live in a society that's detail-oriented toward material things. How many things can you have? The man who dies with the most toys wins. I've seen many t-shirts and bumper stickers that say that. Grab all the gusto you can. Do what you want. And this flies in the face of living a Christ-driven life. A life that is selfless, not selfish. We're to be thankful. We're to be grateful for everything that we have. And another thing that my mom always told me was, don't just act good, be good. If you concentrate on the different attributes of being good, you don't have to worry about how you act. You will act good. And that always stuck with me. If you're here today and are a Christian and have realized that recently or for a long time, you have led a life of ungratefulness. You have led a life not being truly thankful for everything that you have. For all the big things. Most certainly for all the little things that you have. That we all got up this morning and that we all breathed this morning the breath of fresh air outside, although how crisp and cold it is. We were able to get out in it in a beautiful sunny day. Into our vehicles that we've all been blessed with to come here. Some a short drive, some a long drive, but not even thought about because of what we're about to do here today. For the anticipation of worshiping the Lord. For the anticipation of remembering again God's Son who died on the cross for our sins. One thing I like, the anticipation of singing praises to God and singing encouragement to one another. To give of our means, to keep this work going, to keep other works in this country and throughout the world going. If you are not a Christian and realize, like these scriptures have told us, what the world is, and you don't want to let the world tell you what to do anymore, you would like for God and Jesus Christ to rule over your life. To reign over you and protect you. Realizing that God's Son came to this earth and died on the cross for your sins. To repent from your ways, to turn away completely from them. To confess. To believe on the Lord. To be baptized in His name. Rising up out of the water in newness of life as Jesus raised up from the dead in His resurrection. Living a new life. A life that is not governed by anybody in this world or any entity in this world, but is governed by God. Giving your life solely to Him. If we can help you in any way this morning.